I'm ready, sir. Go ahead.
All right. We're all ready to go? I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for March 11th, 2019. And it has been our tradition for many, many years. I'd like to ask everyone, invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our first item on the agenda tonight is the approval of the executive session minutes of March. It's got to be February.
Yeah, February 25th.
Yeah, February 25th. Yes, thank you.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the executive session minutes for Monday, February 25th. All in favor say aye.
No.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that, that they approved unanimously. The reason for the executive session on the 25th of February was to consider the acquisition of real property for a public purpose and matters directly related to those matters, and that's under the Maryland Closed Meeting Act. Next is the regular session minutes of February 25th.
Fifth. Make a motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Tindall to approve the regular session minutes for February 25th. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay. Again, passing unanimously. Next, we have a presentation by Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Program. And Steve, if you come forward and introduce yourself and your sidekick and bring us up to date. I think it's about twice a year that you bring us, give us an update.
Yes, we try to come in about twice a year and present to the council how Worcester Youth and Family is doing. My name is Steve Taylor. I'm the Executive Director of Worcester Youth and Family Counseling Services. Did you ask me for the address?
No.
Okay. And I brought with me Tiffany Scott, who is a new hire to our program. She started with us about a month ago, comes from the Worcester County Health Department. So I want to thank you for inviting the town to hear our presentation tonight. It's nice to see so many people here in the chambers. So with that, I'm going to hand it over to Tiffany and let you talk about what we've been doing with youth programs beginning of the fiscal year, so starting July 1, and lead into a project that she's been recently discussing with the Parks Commission.
Okay.
So, Tiffany, you ready?
All right. Hello.
Hello.
You can feel free to pull that closer.
Thank you. All right. So through the Berlin Youth Club and our adolescent program, Sabres and Sages, we served about 50 youth from the community this year. And I, as we go through this presentation, not only listen to the words that I'm saying, but kind of pay attention to the pictures that you see of the kids. So we covered different things such as effective communication, conflict resolution, interpersonal skills, and relationship building. And we did this through, like, fun, interactive learning. So, you know, faking them out. The kids were learning, but they don't know they're learning, just having fun. So they did different things such as they went to a trampoline park where they got to do physical activity. And we partnered with the Berlin Police Department with that. They also did Jolly Rogers with Berlin Police Department. They learned fine motor skills at the Freeman stage as they learned to juggle. yoga, stress reduction. So we like to keep it diverse, so they learn different things in different environments. And this picture that you see now, and it was Maryland Coastal Bays had came, and they're pretending they're in the water with some fish they made. We also like to throw in cultural enrichment thing programs as well. And one of the things that we did do that was very enlightening, we took the Sabres Boys Group, which is about 8 boys, to the African American Life from Another View exhibit by local artist Patrick Henry. And I was very proud of the boys. They were very engaged, as you can see in the picture. They actually asked questions. They were interested in it. And a lot of the boys actually saw family members in those pictures that were ancestors of them. So that was very good. We also, last week we went to Salisbury University. They got the tour to college. They did very well. They loved seeing the different departments and very interested in that. We had a President's Day bash. The kids were out of school, so they came. They did yoga. They went down to one of the businesses down here, and they had a fun time. So I'm going to tell you why. Look at this picture right here up top. This young man was full of energy, full of life, full of spirit, and we were doing yoga, and halfway through it, he's calm. And his mother comes in and she says, "What is this and how do you sign me up for it?" So they really loved that. So we did, some of the successes that we had was team building. They learned to work together. They learned conflict resolution, and we saw this progression throughout the year. Self-control, patience, positive and effective communication and coping skills. They basically, and one of the, another important things that they learned is how to use their words. You'd be surprised. They don't sometimes know how to do that. So we teach them how to, let's talk through this, let's express, you know, how you feel. Some of the upcoming events that we have and future plans that I'm very, very excited about. We have the Berlin Town events, such as the spring celebration coming up. This will be my first one, so I'm super excited about that. We'll be doing childcare for the upcoming resilience meetings at Worcester Youth and Family Services. We'll be providing activity for the fiddlers event coming up for the town. And we are currently planning for the Berlin Youth Club summer planning. So I've been contacting local businesses and establishments to see what the kids will be doing this summer. Some of the things that they typically do is kayaking and the water park and trampoline park. So, but I want to add in some a little bit more diverse things this year. We're thinking about going down to, hopefully it works out, to UMES and doing a flight simulator with the kids. I think that'll be pretty awesome. I really want to go myself, so, you know. And another thing we're doing, which is super awesome, I'm proud of the boys, we got personally invited to the Junior Achievement Aspire event. So that's going to be in Wacomico County at the Youth and Civic Center tomorrow. And it was only supposed to be for Wacomico kids, but we got invited, our Sabres boys and our Sages girls. So I'm going to be taking them tomorrow. And what this event is, it's a youth-driven job fair. So we had ahead of time, they provided us with the kids' workbooks and MIA curriculum. So they want kids to ask questions to the employers that they're interested in. It's going to be a lot of high-demand jobs and employers there. So prior to attending, we went over things like eye contact. What should you wear when you go to a job fair? What kind of questions should you ask? So we rehearsed these kind of things. I went to the school today to pick up the permission slips for some of the kids, and one of the boys had a fresh haircut. I was impressed. I was like, he's really getting ready for this. That's good. So we're excited about that. So we're going to be doing that tomorrow. And then another event that's coming up that I'm very, very excited about is our Youth Environmental Action Summit. So the Youth Environmental Action Summit, Elise, who is here today, she's from NOAA, Thank you, Elise, for coming to support too. She came and presented the what the Youth Environmental Action Summit was to the boys. And we were very, Elise was very adamant about, and I absolutely agree with her, that it had to be an idea that the boys wanted to do, something that they were passionate about that affected them in their own environment. So what they came up with, and the goal of the summit is they want to empower youth to take an interest in the environment, you know, and do something that's important to them. So what they came up with, we actually raked in and there, when Elise came and did the presentation, the first thing that they said is, we want to do some things out at Henry Park, because they play a lot of basketball out there. And we jumped in the van, and we all rode over to Henry Park that day, and they showed us some things out there that they wanted to change. And one of the things that they wanted to change is, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Henry Park, but when you shoot the ball out there, it's a big puddle. If it floods and the ball gets wet, and of course nobody wants to play basketball when the ball is wet. Easy fix, a rain garden. So they want to put a rain garden there so to soak up that water, and they won't longer have that problem. They also want to put up, when they come out to the basketball court, there's a lot of trash, there's broken bottles, stuff like that that they have to clean up before they can even play ball. So one thing that they did observe is the trash cans out there at Henry Park are very far away from the court. So, you know, people being lazy aren't walking that far to throw things away. So we came up with they came up with the idea, and they wanted to put trash cans closer to the court. So we sold a trash compactor. So you're encouraging recycling along with, you know, throwing away your trash. And signage, just letting people know that you need to recycle. Here's a recycle, and what's this for? So the boys came up with the idea. So we are going to be, we presented the idea at the Parks Commission, and they loved it, and they gave some feedback. And so we're here today with hopes of, you know, getting you guys approval for this. And we really feel strongly about if we are afforded this grant, when they go to the Youth Action Summit and they present, they'll get grant money to actually implement these things within the park. So we're very encouraged that this will start a trend that they will take an interest along with the other people in the community that use this park to take care of the park. And the rain garden will provide future education for not only the kids out there, but the community members as well. So that about wraps it up for us. Did I? I kicked out. I'm going to go to the back. Sorry. That was it? Oh, okay. Sorry about that. So it's been a fun year. I'm just coming on, but I'm very, very excited and encouraged, and just hope that you guys would support. Thank you for your continued support of these programs. If you guys took a look at the pictures when I was flipping through, you actually see that the kids are having fun. They're engaged. And through having fun, they're actually learning a lot of things, and they don't even realize it, but they are. So hopefully we'll thank you.
I encourage you to keep coming every 6 months.
I'd like to get some feedback from the mayor and council with regard to the project at Henry Park, because they're going to be applying for a grant, and if you've got some concerns about that happening in the park, I think now would be a good time to sort of share those ideas.
Could we include Stephen Decatur Park in this application or grant? Because I think it's a splendid idea. Mm-hmm. And it would add more gusto to our grant application for restrooms at Stephen Decatur Park. So I would like to see it expanded to Stephen Decatur Park also.
I don't know, Tiffany, is that an option? Do you know?
I think it's a great idea.
I don't, it just would depend on the amount of grant money. We actually are going to be tomorrow actually doing the proposal, so we'll be able to know how much the cost of those different things. We are partnering with the Maryland Coastal Bays for the rain garden. They're going to help us implement that part of it. So I think it will all come down to cost and how much grant money we receive, if we'll be able to spread that out to other places.
But we see people from Maryland Coastal Bays here, so they're hearing, they're hearing the request as well.
Yeah, and one thing you might consider, too, is it can't all be done at once, is maybe do one park this year, another park next year, and then see where it goes from there. Because hopefully this is the summit and the program are going to be around for a long time.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a great idea. And, you know, that this will just start the ball rolling, so it all, you know, play out together. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so very much.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next on our agenda is a presentation of a water and sewer rate study that was conducted by Davis, Bowen, and Fidel. And again, if you'll introduce yourself and tell everybody.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I'm Rob Duma with Davis, Bowen, and Fidel. We were contracted to do a water and sewer rate study for the town. It's been about, gosh, I want to say probably about a year in the works now we've been working on it. So it's we've got the report together, and it's included in the packet this evening. And I plan to just kind of briefly run through some of the items in the report for the mayor and council and the public. I'll skim through things, but if you have specific spots you want to stop at, you're welcome to stop me. And then I've got a few slides presenting the findings of the study. So just to get started, you know, the background is it's been 5 years since the town adopted their last water and sewer rates. We were being proactive at the time in checking the rates and reviewing the audits from the accountants. We went back to 2009, looking back as a history of checking the audits and the available data regarding revenue and expenses for the water and sewer accounts. So quickly, just to get started, I'll start with the special connections. These are when a new user comes to town. These are the charges for the water and sewer to help pay for capital improvements. So I've got a quick table there, table one on page three, showing the trends of annual connections. Annual connections have been relatively high in the last few years, which is a good thing for revenues to the town. Along with those annual connections, that's where we get the special connection charge. So when a user comes to town, they are need to pay the water and sewer fees to connect.
Excuse me, Rob?
Yes.
Table one?
Yes.
What are you recommending? A range of 30 to 40 connections per
that
year?
That's generally forward? What the town has been planning for in the past.
Okay.
And except for a few years, it generally has been achieved. We've been achieving 41 on average.
And that's enough to cover the debt service or no?
That is very, I believe that is enough to cover the debt service.
It's 32
EDUs 32 a year will cover the debt service.
So we're about 10 ahead per year on the EDU special connection.
Okay. That goes straight to the bond payment.
Yeah, that doesn't go to any servicing.
Correct. That is not in the analysis of the operations.
Right. That pays down the debt on all this sewer and water
infrastructure,
plant and treatment and all that. Okay.
Correct. So when we take that special connection charge, I've done a kind of an overall comparison with other local communities just to see where you sit. And Berlin is one of the highest. It's kind of in the top one-third of the special connections of neighboring communities, just as a note. So we did not recommend an increase to that special connection charge. Flipping ahead to page five, we start getting into the revenue and expenses of the sewer and water accounts. And these revenues and expenses are essentially, we're boiling down to get to operations and maintenance type costs. So again, those special connections are coming out. And so this is just to show where revenues and expenses are generally trending. So that goes back to 2009. And
Now, Rob, the years that you have listed, are they fiscal years or calendar years?
They would be fiscal year based on the audits from the accountants.
Okay. Thank you.
So we're showing that some of these years are very slim, the margins between revenue and expenses, and at times the expenses will exceed. So on page 6 is where I get into the recommendation of a 15% rate increase on the sewer accounts to help cover costs and a 10% increase in revenues for the water account to help show the necessary revenues to bring the water and sewer accounts up to speed. Flipping to page 7, we'll get into the sewer utility rate comparison with other communities.
Sorry, page 6.
Yeah, certainly.
Is this correct when it says the water system ran a loss in 3 of the past 9 years and the wastewater has run a loss in the past 6 out of 9 years?
That's correct when boiling down the revenue and expenses from the accountant's statements. So there are certain things like septage receiving at the wastewater treatment plant that has been taken out of the analysis. Certain water sales of bulk water sales to contractors were also taken out. So we've tried to get this as accurate as possible to reflect revenue and expenses.
But reflecting revenue and expenses, we've been at a loss for those years.
Correct.
That doesn't include last fiscal year and the current projected fiscal year.
That's correct. Those were not analyzed in this report.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Going to page 7, we're showing another utility rate comparison with communities. Last time we were looking at the special assessment. This table 6 on page 7 is the sewer rates. So what, the monthly rate. So some users bill quarterly, others bill monthly, and that's why you see the difference in the estimated usage for some of the communities. And Berlin is in the middle, a little bit on the higher end in this chart. Similarly, on page 8, we'll get into the same analysis on the water end. And just to be clear, this was taking a average flow for an average resident to make a benchmark for comparison. So I took the same flow and applied that to each community's rates. Berlin had the lowest water rates in this comparison. The next section, section 8, and which runs over to page 9, discusses alternative rate design methods. I reviewed uniform rates, decreasing rates, seasonal rates, and the current structure, which is the increasing block rate design. I recommend that the town stay with the increasing block rate design because it helps to incentivize kind of water savings from users. Essentially, the more water you use, the more you're going to pay. So that makes the most sense. And as we'll get into this in the next section, in the next page, we recommended a re-tiering where we shift the, as users use more water and ultimately more sewer, we recommended that the town shift the billing cycles 1,000 gallons upward. And it's easier to understand on page 10, chart 8. You'll see in light gray are the existing water and sewer rates, and the blue is the water, and the reddish orange is the sewer. So we've shifted the tier 1,000 gallons, and we're calling that the rate re-tiering, and that'll help incentivize users to conserve water and to see a savings on their bill. They save water.
So, Rob, we've got that
So that's
wrap
the,
up here for those benefit of the folks that don't have a packet. We actually ran out of a few copies, but the graph is right there
yep,
for your
that's
time.
Correct. So flipping ahead, we get into a little bit of the sewer debt obligation, which has been covered by the special connection charges. And the town has done a great job of paying off some debt and really getting those total annual payments down each year. We do have a capital improvement section, section 10, where we kind of listed some of the higher priority projects that the town needs to plan for in the coming years. We're coming up with about $3 million in the water system and $775,000 on the sewer system, mainly sewer pumping stations needing to be upgraded and a sewer main upgrade.
And those are on page 11?
That's correct, yeah. Page 11.
Yeah. All right, so basically there's a difference.
So these are kind of factored into as a kind of a planning tool to be prepared to cover these costs in the future for capital improvements. Section 11, rolling over to page 12, is just a quick section on inflation and user rates. Generally, just the economy itself has been running a 2% annual inflation, and so we would keep that in mind when setting user rates to make sure you're just covering inflation at the very least on rate increases, so around 2%. And the conclusions, like I stated, we need a 10% increase in revenues to cover the water account and a 15% increase in revenues to cover the sewer account. And in this report, we've outlined a kind of a five-year plan to bring the revenues up to where they need to be. In year one, we've recommended a 5% increase in the rates and a 10% increase in sewer. In year three, we've recommended a 7% increase in sewer rates, and year five, a 3% increase in sewer rates.
Although in this case, we did sort of provide a range, 3 to 5.
So right. Yeah, so 3 to 5 in year five, probably assessing as you get closer
exactly.
to year five to make
right.
sure.
Right.
And in this structure, for the time being, we have the base rate staying the same for year one. So users using the base rate.
Less than 3,000 gallons a month.
Less than 3,000 yep. gallons would pay the same rate as they currently are now in this scenario in the report.
Which is about 32% of our customers.
I would also like to see something done with similar to what we do with the electric department where we offer like energy audits. If we could offer like ways that the citizens can save water and have somebody come out and consult on that from the town, if possible. I think that would be a great way to help increase some conservation.
We can look into what it would take to do that.
So I know I ran through that really quickly, but just wanted to kind of get it out there so everyone was aware of the report and how it kind of plays. So, I mean, that's essentially it of what I have to present.
Why don't we run through the slides? So, this is the first year, what this would look like graphically.
Correct.
I don't think that the, unfortunately, I don't think the gray line, in terms of the existing, showed as well in the packets as I would have expected. So if you could just sort of run through year three and year five.
So as you're looking at the screen, the existing rates are shown on the top left table. The proposed rates are shown below that, and this year one is a 5% increase to water accounts with the base rate staying the same, and it is a 10% increase in sewer accounts with the base rate staying the same. And we did some analysis where we took the historic billing of 2018 and kind of ran these figures into the kind of the monthly volume usage of users, and with that we were able to find how much estimated annual revenue we would expect from water and sewer. So the table at the bottom shows a $46,000 estimated annual increase in water for this rate change, and a $137,000 increase in sewer.
Tell me, what percentage of customers would fall into these categories?
Right. So, if I remember correctly, I believe we were looking at 30% of users in that first tier.
About 32%.
Yeah, 32% of users on that first part of the graph that wouldn't change.
Under 3,000 gallons.
Okay.
Yeah. And about 50% would experience, I think, what you figured, about a 5% increase. This is sort of a blended situation. It's not just a pure rate increase, yeah, which makes it a little more difficult to talk about. Mm-hmm. Because what we're trying to do here is adjust rates so that we can have some additional revenue in those two funds, but also encourage water conservation, which is why we're suggesting that folks that are using less than 3,000 gallons not be impacted, at least in year one.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that means you're really recognizing the conservation effort, and I would suspect a lot of folks in that category might be low income or seniors living by themselves. Mm-hmm. These are folks that I think you would want to sort of give a break in this context. If you look to the right of the chart, you'll notice that the gray line and the color lines separate a little bit because we're proposing an increase in the tiering so that the break, I call it, where it starts to go up to the next level, doesn't occur at 6,000 where it currently does now, but starts at 5, and then it goes up again at 7. And then it goes up every 1,000 gallons after that. What that will do is we'll increase pretty significantly the cost to the higher-end user and hopefully encourage them to adjust their usage. Or if they continue to use at a high level, then that would generate additional income for those utilities that would be servicing those customers. Okay, and do you want to show them what year three looks like?
Yep, and then...
Next slide, please, Kelsey.
I get it. Yep.
No, you've got it.
So year three, so this year three in this scenario is a 7% increase, and I call that across the board for sewer, and water remains the same as we've covered the necessary revenues in year one for water.
So in this case, everybody who receives sewer services would be affected. And that's why you see the gray line and then the red line.
Yep.
But no change to water.
That's correct.
At this point, the sewer fund would be rebalanced, and you would generate a tiny bit of money with which you could use to repay the general fund. With the adjustments in year one, you would rebalance the water fund and make a significant step towards rebalancing the sewer fund. By year three, if you do this, the sewer fund will be rebalanced, and you'll have a little money, at least anticipated, what I would call surplus, which you would then go back and allocate to repay the general fund. And then if we could go to year five, then in year five, we're proposing, remind me, I think it's...
This one's a
3%. Oh, the 3%
to 5%.
Yeah, right. I think this shows a 3%. But in conversations with the mayor, he was suggesting perhaps a range. The idea here is in year five, you would do another bump in the sewer fund, and that would generate specifically $265,000, with which he could use to return back to the general fund. And at the end of this five-year series of adjustments, you will have generated enough money to repay the general fund back 100% of the $3 million in about a 10 to 12-year time period. Some folks might think that that's a long time. I can tell you from talking to the auditors that they think that's an extremely reasonable amount of time. 10 to 12 is reasonable from their standpoint. What they're primarily looking for is that the town develop a plan and then stick to it going forward.
But the most important thing is these departments would be self-sufficient and really not dependent upon the general fund to subsidize their operation.
That's right.
And I think that's a good thing.
Now, Rob,
yeah,
in the report it talks about a variable rate based on classification. Is there a way that we could...
We briefly discussed it in the report, but with talks with the Department of Water and other departments, we ended up deciding to just keep the rates uniform across commercial, industrial, and residential users.
Is that how other places do it?
It's kind of a mix. There are some towns that choose, bill higher to commercial users and higher to industrial users, but there can be some towns that generally will do a flat across the board, same rate.
And could we say we bring in a different annexation per se, Would we be able to make that like a special tax district or a special zone that maybe received a different fee to offset some of the
charges? I think it could. Yeah, that might be a question of the billing software and the logistics, but it certainly could pass something to have variable rates in different areas.
And my next question is, if we look at, I think it's table one, you mentioned that it takes 32 EDUs, or maybe the mayor mentioned that it takes 32 EDUs a year to cover our debt service.
Correct.
So when we issue a bond and then we begin selling EDUs and they pay a connection charge, as those EDUs come in, that proportion that we sell should also be seen in the proportion of debt that goes down on those bonds, correct?
Correct. Now, is that so?
Yes.
Is that the case? So the that no?
Yes.
The fact is a little ahead, right? And towards bank, the EDUs, what the average versus what we originally budgeted.
The ideal plan is to collect enough EDUs to support the debt service per year.
Correct.
Lately, we've been actually receiving additional EDUs above the budgeted. So we were able to pay down the debt additionally towards the principals to reduce the interest expense, which helped for the past couple of years to minimize the debt. The way we set up the structure and the budget, the EDUs assigned to repay the existing debt of the infrastructure.
Okay, so if, maybe I'm not understanding this. If we were selling the EDUs at a rate of 32, we should be covering our debt service. But
minimum payments.
But
minimum
we have
payments.
Right, but right now what we have is more debt than what we can handle, I think, when we look at the amount that we owe the general fund and the amount that we have floated in bonds.
It's operational.
Is what's dragging us down.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we're increasing some rates in order to be able to pay ourselves back. You just mentioned the $3.5 million that we've used to subsidize those funds.
On the operational side.
Those are all operational funds.
That's correct.
Okay.
So we're really doing a nice job of managing the debt, and Natalie did, I think, a good job sort of setting that down and actually saving us quite a bit of money on interest. And when the council set all of this up, you made a commitment in the code that those EDU payments go to pay the debt off, so we're obligated to do that and have been. It's on the operational side where we're having some challenges.
On the operational side, because you think, well, what is it? Is the whole department just running willy-nilly? No. What this is, crux of the dilemma on the sewer cost, on the operational cost of sewer, is our new wastewater spray irrigation property down in Newark. The cost of running that every day is significantly higher than what the rate study projected. And again, you can't find these. It's not like you can go out and find another identical one. Each one is unique. So the reason many years ago Berlin started using spray irrigation for when our wastewater, our sewer water is treated, is so that years ago we stopped dumping it into the coastal bays. Everybody agrees that that would be horrible, right? Ocean City, when they do their treated, they send it out, way out in the ocean, which is a much bigger area that can absorb that. The water's well treated as well. But what we're doing here is that we have two spray irrigation fields. There was the one that we had for many years, and then to upgrade this wastewater sewer plant, which cost several million dollars, we also, part of that was then to make sure the effluent could go to additional spray irrigation, which the current land was maxed out. So right now, that's why the rates have to be adjusted more than anything else. It's not the sole thing, but it's the lion's share of why the sewer utility has been borrowing money from the general fund, because the costs have been much greater than anticipated. Just that way everybody knows it's not because folks aren't doing what they're supposed to do, but it's one of those things where, quite frankly, I think everybody's finding this out everywhere. Doing the right thing for the environment, it's always costing more than what was projected. And now we're going to have to adjust our rate, a monthly rate everybody gets charged, to compensate for that impact. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Rob.
All right, thank you.
The mayor just mentioned a few things that impact on the operational costs, but we can't forget the regulatory part of this endeavor, because there's a lot of testing and sampling that goes on to make sure that the public is receiving a quality product, and I think that is utmost important.
Certainly. Any other questions for Rob?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Next, we're up on item 4 of the agenda, which is a motion to award a contract to Coastal Site Works for the demolition of 7 small buildings and digester at Berlin Falls Park in an amount not to exceed $124,000. And who's going to make a big deal?
That'll be me.
Okay.
Yeah, and hopefully this will work from here. Okay. So we're recommending that the council award a contract to Coastal Site Works, LLC, in the amount of $124,000 for the demolition of 7 small buildings and the digester at Berlin Falls Park. In November 2018, an invitation to bid was issued for the demolition of 7 small buildings at the Berlin Falls Park, along with the digester, and the digester was bid as an ad alternate. It was interesting. We had 6 or 7 contractors come and do a site tour with David Deutsch. We really only received 2 proposals. Those are listed in the staff report, and the bid documents are attached and included in the packet as well. Low bidder is Coastal Site Works with a total of $124,000. The only other responder, Lindstrom Excavating, their bid was a total of $496,000. So we're recommending, understandably, the low bid. I wanted to show just a few pictures and then a map to sort of orient you to what we're doing. So the map you have in front of you, and I know for the audience those little dots are kind of small. Sorry about that. These are the buildings where the red dots are that we're looking at demolishing, as they appear in the park. And then these are the buildings, little close-up pictures of each of them. And so building number 1 in the photos is building number 1 in the map. That's how that works. So in your packet, you have a picture of the photos of all the buildings. There's a total of 7. Here's the ad alternate, the digester. Whoops, let's go back here. So that's the recommendation. There was some discussion at the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Committee meetings, the last 2 meetings, about the buildings and whether or not they should be demolished. There is money set aside for capital investments in the park at the time that the mayor and council bonded to purchase the property. You bonded for a little extra money to make capital improvements. That amount is at $259,000 right now. So you have money available in that capital allocation for this activity should you choose to do it. And it's our recommendation that you do so and that you authorize that contract.
Okay.
Any questions?
Anyone have any questions?
I'll make a motion that we approve the demolishment of those buildings.
We have a motion by Council Member Brittingham to accept the bid for the demolishing of the small buildings in Berlin Falls Park at a total cost of $124,000. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Okay. And just let me just thank you very much. And I think
the
opposed. Okay. And
you're opposed.
So it's 4-1. Yeah, please speak up.
Sorry.
Please, I appreciate it. Is the thing is, the large building, what its future is, has still up in the air with a lot of different recommendations and ideas that the Falls Park Advisory Committee is considering. But that is, by doing this and using our own money to do what we can, that puts us in a much better position when that time comes to apply for a grant, state grant, to our grants, to demolish or alter that building. But I'm going to make this clear. You can apply for grants all day, but if you want to get them, you need to meet the criteria. And we have an unusually good record of getting grants, but we never go empty-handed.
Mayor, I'm sorry. I'm not sure people can hear you. Do you mind moving your microphone closer?
No.
I think that might help.
Okay, sure. I'm sorry. But so we all doesn't quite fit. It is we have quite a good record of getting grants because we always make sure that we meet the financial criteria to apply for them. There's no such thing as free money. And those municipalities, counties, whatever, that go with an empty hand end up with a, you know, thank you very much for the application, but there's no money. It's just the way the system works. And I think that just this is a classic example. By doing this work, we'll be much better, much higher on the list, much more likely to get a good-sized grant for when it is time, when it's decided and when it's time to do demolition work on the major building. Okay. Let's see. Next is 2019-07, a motion approving the FY20 Program of Open Space Annual Development Program. And Harry Bolden will take the lead.
Sorry.
No, that's right.
You may recall this is something that we do on an annual basis. I usually refer to it as our wish list of priority projects to submit for program open space consideration. This is not actual application for funding. This is simply a declaration that these are the projects that we have prioritized for this year. The only change from last year's plan is we have removed, we had had the expansion of the tot lot at Stephen Decatur Park on the plan for many years. Part of what the thinking was when we first started to conceive of that project was to fill in some of the low-lying ground around it so that it would stop flooding right there. But of course, as I say, that was many years ago, and we simply no longer do that. So the expansion of the tot lot is kind of off the table at this point.
Okay.
The purchase and installation of the basketball court lights at Henry Park remains on this list because it has not been funded, but there is an application in with Community Parks and Playgrounds to fund it. So that may come off, hopefully, it'll come off the list later this spring if we receive approval on that application. Following that would be the purchase and installation of permanent restrooms at Stephen Decatur Park, amenities at Berlin Falls Park, and then finally planning, design, and hopefully development at John Howard Burbage Park.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mary regarding the grants that are being applied for through Program F in Space?
Yes, you need a motion to proceed?
Yes.
Move to approve.
We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve motion 2019-07, approving the annual grant applications for Program Open Space. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? I pass unanimously.
Thank you.
Okay, next is our departmental reports. First will be Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening. Just a quick update on our budget. Through this month's March, each department head will be presenting their requested budgets. We will be going over the spreadsheets and entering the numbers in the system, reviewing everything with Laura. And then first general fund workshop is April the 1st. And the schedule is available for pickup if anybody needed right there on the table. 2 weeks after, April 15th, is the utilities fund workshop session. And as we go, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Dean. Any questions for Natalie? Next is Administrative Services Director Mary Baldwin.
I don't have anything else this evening.
All right. Thank you. Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just have a couple of things. I wanted to give Megan Fowler passed her Class 4 water license with BMDE, Maryland Department of the Environment. She is already a current holder of wastewater 5A, and so now she's both water and wastewater certified through the state. We want to congratulate her. And then in case no one's aware, we've had a tremendous amount of rain lately. Just last Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we had over 1.2 million gallons plus go through the treatment plant per day. Our normal flows are about 460,000 gallons per day, so it's almost triple what we normally have. So we are aware that there's water everywhere. It's inundating everyone. We will be out in force as soon as we get a little bit drier weather, clear some of these ditches, and get our treatment plant under control as well.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Jane?
I got one.
Okay.
Is that mostly infiltration?
Pardon me?
Infiltration.
Yes, because, well, there are still some people with basements that pump into the sewer. Mm-hmm. And we have lined all our manholes with liners so that the water doesn't travel through the holes. But, yes, there's always going to be some infiltration and inflow occurring, especially when there's so much pressure pushing in from the groundwater pushing in.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Potholes in town seem a little worse this year.
You think? they are. Again, I'm going to attribute it to all the water and then the freezing and thawing, and that just breaks up the asphalt. They were out in force on Friday and again today filling some of them. Feel free to contact us if you have one in particular or several in particular.
Absolutely. Yes.
Jane, the substation, my personal substation.
Your lift station, yes.
Lift station. Is that a minor problem today or?
Yeah, it was just a clogged pump.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
It very, very rarely happens at that one, but today was your day.
All right. Any other questions for Jane? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Sunrise Church, we're in the process of taking them onto the electric system for Berlin. Right now, the overhead line has been extended, and the contractor is scheduled to be there on this Thursday to board the underground conduit to feed to the new transformer site. Also, we have a meter service, reliable meter service in town. They come here every 3 years, and basically what they do is they check all our high usage demand customers to make sure the metering is correct. We actually test the meters to make sure they're reading properly, make sure everything's wired properly, and make sure the multiplier is correct. We actually bring them in about every 3 years, and they take care of that for us. Also this week, the number two engine rebuild is scheduled to start this week. It's going to take about 2 months. That was actually budgeted in this year's budget, so the money's already appropriated for it. And we're going to be starting that. Then all over at 109 Davis Court, we installed a new underground service to a new house that was built. And then over at 303 Walnut Hill, we had to replace a Victorian streetlight pole that was broken. That's all I have.
Any questions for Tim? All right. Thank you very much. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I just wanted to remind people we posted it, the town code red system. There's been item in the press release, and we sent neighboring properties a notice. Next Monday night on the 18th at 6:30, there's a controlled burn of a home at 137 Flower Street. That's on the corner of Shawl Street. So we've done a good job of trying to notify everybody, but I'll put it out there again. It's still scheduled. Berlin Fire Company will be there. Chief Downing and his people are already aware. Tim had some concerns with electric lines. We took care of that with the fire company. So I just wanted the public to be aware. Again, next Monday night, the 18th, at 6:30 p.m., there will be a house on fire, but it'll be well monitored. And it was that gets permitted by the county fire marshal, which it's a long process, and the fire company then gets involved, and we wait for them to schedule and come back to us. So this has been going on since the end of the year, actually, before they settle on a date. So, again, next Monday night, 6:30 p.m. The only other item, this Wednesday night, we have a planning commission meeting. There will be a public hearing for an annexation on North Main Street, properties across the street from where we have Berlin Main Place, where you have the medical arts buildings right off of North Main. The properties directly across the street are seeking to be annexed into the town. They currently are in Worcester County, but not in town limits. And then the other item on the Planning Commission's agenda that night will be is a revision to the planned unit development at Purnell Crossing North. So we'll be glad to see you come out if you'd like to. That's all I have.
Tip, on that house burning, there will be some street closure.
Our street will be blocked.
Tell me, after the burning, what happens with the removal of?
That's all part of the demolition permit. They have it, you know, carted away.
Okay. Yep. Okay. So all that is included.
Okay. Any other questions for Dave? Next, we have Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just a few things for you this evening. Tomorrow we have a meeting at the Calvin B. Taylor Museum because an author is coming to town to write a book about Berlin, a fiction book about the train industry in Berlin. So we have several people meeting with her tomorrow. And then right after that, we are filming two TV shows with Lisa Challenger and Dave Messick. One will focus on the arts in downtown Berlin, and the other will focus on the new businesses coming to town. It's also the 20th anniversary of Runaway Bride this year, so we're going to be throwing some things in about Runaway Bride this year also. If you haven't heard, I'm sure that you must have heard that Toy Town is coming back to Berlin. It is going to be their second location. They are not leaving Snow Hill to come here. They are opening a shop where Walt's Train Shop was in addition to their existing business in Snow Hill. So it's nice to have them back. Also opening soon is the Dusty Lamb, which is an art gallery / eclectic, unique business that's opening where Uncle John's Soap was. And then also the clothing store is opening up. Madison Avenue Boutique is opening up next to the bookshop. So that's happening sometime in the next few weeks. Also, I am going to the Main Street Conference in Seattle next week, as required by Department of Housing and Community Development Main Street Program. So I'll be gone. And then also 7 more Sundays till the Farmers Market opens. That's all I have tonight.
One thing, would you just tell her about where the Farmers Market will be located?
Oh, so the Farmers Market will have a new location. Also met with Chief today. So the new location will be on Pitt Street and surrounding the J&M Meat Market. Pitt Street will be closed only up until the driveway where your driveway is. So it's not going to close. The road's not going to be closed extended past that. And then all the way up to Burley and Tavern. Met with Cody today. He's pretty excited about it. We're going to have some live music right outside of the Burlington Tavern. And this way we've added some more spaces for vendors and farmers because we weren't going to close Pitt Street at first, but then after several discussions, we realized that there's a lot of kids that come to the farmers market. And if they run out pits and we have that road open, it's probably not going to be good. So we decided to close that, and it allows me extra space for additional farmers and vendors this year.
And you say it's 1 month away.
And we're almost sold out. I think I have maybe 2 spots left.
And that goes through September.
Right, so it starts Sunday, May 5th, and runs every Sunday
from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. through September 29th. We will be putting up no parking signs on pits every Friday. Also, Mr. Burbage has let his tenants know that to not park there on Saturday evenings. I also talked to Jeremy and Cody about people parking there for the tavern on Saturday night, and if he feels that they may end up leaving their cars there, to ask them to move them out of the way just in case, because, you know, sometimes stuff happens on Saturday night and you leave your car there. So they're encouraged to move their cars out of that area.
All this depends on how people cooperating and partnering.
And everyone's been very cooperative, and people are really excited about the new location. Also, it's slightly more ADA. It's a lot more ADA accessible. I've arranged for a bus from Gold Creek. Some of the residents of Gold Creek like to come to the farmer's market, so a bus will be coming. I did that this morning. Will be coming on Sundays to allow the residents to be able to visit the farmer's market on Sundays.
Great. Does anyone have any questions for Audrey? Right, thank you. Next is Managing Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. A few quick things. Friday, this coming Friday the 15th at 1:30 in the chamber will be our fourth annual employee recognition ceremony. On March 20 at 1 o'clock in this chamber, we will have formal ethics training. And Ernie Proquist will be here to do the presentation again. On the 15th of April, Chris Carroll from Dealey, and we will present to you all that evening during the enterprise work session the numbers, if you will, of the plan for health insurance for FY20. And then hot off the press, sometime in June, it's been confirmed, we will hold a intensive driving class. And what I want to share with the public, this will probably take place in June as well. Determined, but the U.S. Social Security Administration will be here and we'll call it Social Security Day. And anyone that has questions, we'll have the representative here. We're doing it for the employee group, but I want to open it up to the general public as well.
Thank you. Any questions for Jeff? All right. Thank you. Next is our town administrator's report.
We have several resilience meetings coming up. We've entitled them Making Berlin Resilient. Of Thursday evening at Buckingham Elementary School from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. and on Saturday, March 16th, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Worcester County Library. Both of those meeting dates and times are supported by childcare from Worcester Youth and Family. Worcester Youth and Family is located at 124 North Main Street. You can drop your child off 30 minutes before and then pick your child up after the meeting's being held. The last of our three meetings will be held on March 18th in this room from 6 to 9 p.m. We needed to move from the multipurpose building. So we received a grant from the state as well as NOAA to do these resilience meetings to focus on creating a section in our comprehensive plan that focuses on resilience. So we'll be talking about the environment and growth and financial sustainability. And so I'm hoping that you'll each take a minute out of your day and come to one of these three-hour meetings. Thank you.
They've been very well attended in the past, and they've been very helpful to us in making longer-term decisions about what people want and how much do they want it and when do they want it. And but it's not for us to tell you what you want. It's for you to come in and say, you know, with a very knowledgeable and very experienced facilitator from the University of Maryland Environmental Finance Center, which we've worked with them before, it really is a great way to become involved, get your opinion known regarding these elements, and they've been very successful in the past, so I'm hopeful that will continue this week. Do you have anything else? Okay. I know that... yes.
You got the chief.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chief, do you have anything?
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah, we talk to you.
Members of the Berlin Police Department had an opportunity on Thursday to work a joint traffic initiative targeting distracted drivers with the Maryland State Police, Worcester County Sheriff's Office, Department of Natural Resources. We were involved with 32 stops on that initiative. We don't have the overall numbers for the other agencies. We're waiting from the Maryland State Police on that, but again, working with our partners. On Wednesday, myself and Lieutenant Fisher will be going to Community Police and Reporting Conference. It's actually going to be in Cambridge for a training session. And on Thursday, I will be at the MML Police Executive Board meeting where we'll select the top cop in the state of Maryland and prepare for our annual training conference in April. I'm actually sitting on the board of the secretary currently. And last week, I had opportunity to assist the Snow Hill, town of Snow Hill, in the interview process for Chief of Police. I had nothing else to report.
That's great. Does anyone have any questions for Chief Allen? Okay. Thank you. I'd like to address, just for a few minutes, the interesting things that I've heard about the budget, and I'd like to at least put some information out. We are at the very, very beginning of the budget process that is finally commenced and passed in mid-June, but there is, I hope you all saw that we have the budget sessions. All the agenda for that is available.
Back there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so what I'd like to do is that just to give you at least an initial thing, because the budget process is very lengthy and very detailed. The underlying premise of our town budgets for the past 10 years has been to keep property taxes and utility fees both as low as possible. Our current budget decisions are the result of the town of Berlin experiencing greater expenses in the past 5 years than we expected. To make up the difference, we have been tapping into the town's savings, which we call reserves, in our general fund. The general fund pays for administration, finance, building and grounds, maintenance for all the town's public buildings, police protection, public works, garbage, recycling, streets, economic development, planning, and parks and recreation, and public safety. Of all the services provided by the general fund, public safety, which is police, fire protection, and emergency medical services, is 27% of the annual general fund budget. Capital expenses for town properties and departments is 30% of the general budget. Together, these two costs, out of all the things the town does, public safety and capital expenses for our town's public assets add up to a total of 57%, which is more than half of our general fund expenses. It is important to note that in planning our next budget, we must decide how to replenish our general fund reserves, which is our town's savings account. This is a budgeting problem, not a crisis. I'm hearing rumors that the town is about to run out of money and going to have to lock up doors. That's not even close. It's kind of like the best analogy I can use at home. You build up your savings account, things come along, emergencies come along, or situations that you don't expect. You go into your savings, and then you start pulling it back up again. That's exactly, in the simplest way I can explain, what we're doing in this budget cycle. The town is not going to run out of money, not in 5 months or any time in the foreseeable future. We will be making some level of increase in our property tax rates and our rates for water, sewer, and stormwater. The amounts of those increases will be determined in the budget process. There are a number of options or rates and combinations of those rates that will be considered as the Mayor and Council begins working on the fiscal 2020 budget. I wish to make one more comment regarding the FY20 budget. Apparently, since the last council meeting, there has been a rumor on the street that all town employees will not be receiving any pay increases in our next budget, except for the town administrator. This is not true. Laura Allen, our town administrator, and I discussed this a few weeks ago, and I received a signed statement from our town administrator on February 28th that she is unwilling to accept any raise if the town's employees are not receiving a raise. So at this time, I'd like to start with the council. I assume many of you want to address the mayor and council, and we welcome your comments so that everyone who wishes to address the council can share their thoughts. I ask that you keep your comments to between three to five minutes, and please raise your hand, and I will call on each speaker one at a time. Yes? And just say your name and address.
Come up here.
No, I'm saying just say your name.
Huh?
Huh?
No.
I'm asking to say your name and address. Because all has to, you know, not everybody knows everybody.
Good evening. My name is Jeff Oxer, a Berlin business and property owner of 10 years. I would like to start out with something Councilman Troy Purnell said in a recent Dispatch newspaper article. There's a business we're running here, and we have to make sure it doesn't go under. Right now, we are losing a bunch of money each year. Berlin is certainly a business, and we need it to stay strong and healthy. Berlin's general fund balance, holding only enough reserve capital for 5 months of operating expenses, is an extremely scary situation. A problem of this magnitude should have certainly been noticed and or addressed by our town administration before we were put into this financial crisis. The fact that so many residents, property, and business owners are here tonight proves the importance of this issue. What happens in the future if other financial or economic problems are missed or not addressed in time? I'm very concerned that my business and my livelihood in Berlin could be jeopardized by our town's current administration. We clearly need change in Berlin. It is absolutely crucial for Berlin's future financial and economic stability. For example, the NFL is one of the largest businesses in the world, and when an NFL organization fails to meet its on- and off-the-field expectations, there is change. The change starts at the top with the head coach. In Berlin's case, that head coach is our town administrator. It's never personal, but a business decision that's best for that organization. I feel it's time to start over and correctly fix Berlin's problems from the ground up. The decisions our town administration will make in the upcoming weeks must be implemented with great thought and not taken lightly. We cannot make any short-term decisions that could harm Berlin's financial and economic future. We all want Berlin to continue to be a strong, thriving town for generations to come. I know Berlin will do what's best for the future of both its residents and businesses. I ask you to please consider the following. Our 2018 property tax assessments have climbed to the highest level in my 10 years in Berlin, if not ever. We will see these property tax increases in 2019, obviously, and I believe another sudden, dramatic property tax increase on top of what we just saw could be devastating for Berlin's future. Thank you.
Tell me, I didn't get your name.
Jeff Oxer.
And your what business do you
I own the glassblowing studio on Jefferson Street.
And your address?
19 Jefferson Street.
Now, I have one question, if you don't mind.
What's up?
I respect that you're a business owner and a resident as well.
Correct.
And there has been some discussion among my colleagues and I about a split tax rate. So I don't know if you feel comfortable sharing or let me finish my question. Or maybe some other business owners and residents may feel comfortable sharing in the audience. But I have a concern that if we institute a two-tier tax rate, that tax rate increase, it may be designed to hopefully be burdened by the property owner, but I think that will be passed through to those individual businesses in the form of rent increases.
Agreed.
And things of that nature. And I'm afraid that we don't have the free cash flow to be able to substantiate that. How do you feel?
I agree with that. I have both residence and commercial at the same property. It's both on commercial property. I understand that there has to be some increase. I do understand that. I just don't want it to be too dramatic, especially considering, I mean, what the tax values right now are the highest assessments they've ever been. So it's already a jump this year, so we won't see a new assessment for 3 years. So what goes on top of that? I also agree with you 100% that, for me, I own my building, so I incur that cost myself. But for people that do not own their buildings, especially businesses, they're going to see that cost. Obviously, the property owners are going to take that and put that cost onto the renters of the which, you know, the last thing we need to do is not be able to fill the Main Street stores and have empty businesses. From when I started in 2009 till now, we've seen a dramatic increase in businesses, and I'd like to see it flourish like that because it obviously helps everybody. Right. So, yes, I do believe that is something, and I don't want to get into what I think the percentages should be on which side and whatever because it's not my job. So But yes, I do think that that is something to consider.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Come on. Come right on.
No, it's just a quick question.
Sure.
I'm Cindy Kreppel, 105 Broad Street. Is there any truth to what was in the paper that you all are floating around the 30%+ increase, or is that...
That is the highest option of many. I think the percentage 34% was used. And listen, I was a journalist for 30-some years. If I was writing a headline or lead for a story, I would have used the same exact thing. It gets everybody's attention. But the range is anywhere from 20% to 34%. Anything less than 20%, we just made everybody upset and not even solved the problem. So just so you're aware, it's one of many, and we're talking about ranges that go from, right now, 68, 70, it was 8 years ago, it was a 73 cents per 100, and we lowered it. Everybody's forgotten that. That's okay. That's fine. It goes with the territory. And now we need to raise it back up, and it's how much and how to most fairly distribute whatever property taxes increase. The first thing that must be done is stop the necessity of borrowing money from the general fund, our savings, reserves, to keep the operation of the sewer utility to pay for everything. And so that, once that stopped, then we have the second thing, which is over several years, how do we build back the reserves? Again, we're not in a crisis. This is the thing. We would be in a crisis if we had no reserves and then we had a need. How much reserves we're going to resolve that we think is appropriate? It's been up and down and up and down over the years. The highest I think we ever had was, $9 million are basically a 12 months of reserves, but we're having to fill that in whenever there's a significant increased expense, and it's the sewer fund where we're getting, really knocked. Most of the time we borrow, and what we've been doing is borrow money, then we put it right back in a year or two, and that's normal, but this is an unusual case. Yes, ma'am.
If I may make a suggestion.
Sure.
I think the first place you should look is at spending. So I have a question.
Sure.
About the $124,000 we're paying to knock down buildings on a property we have no plans to do anything on as of yet. I understand that it helps with future grants, but we're at a place right now where you're looking at 20 to 34% increase, and I say $124,000 to knock down buildings on a worthless piece of property at this point
is not responsible spending, in my opinion.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, right.
I'm Betty Hudson.
Yeah.
I live on 100 Mill Street in Berlin. And I agree with her. Berlin spends too much money. You don't spend money if you don't have it. And furthermore, you made a statement, or someone did, that our taxes has not been raised in what? How many years?
At least 12.
Okay. Then my taxes not the same price they were back then. And you talked about the potholes. As far as I'm concerned, back there in Berlin, those streets have not been touched since 50 years. I live on Middle Street. Potholes back in that development is everywhere. And I'm like them by buying the chicken plant. If you need, I am 100% for education, the children and the town. Yes, this is a beautiful town. And I say, take care of our fire department, the ambulance, our police. We need all that. But we don't need to go out and spend money on a chicken plant that sits there, no use to us whatsoever. I feel like if this town can't budget the plan, then hire somebody to come in and do it. You'd be better off doing that and kept spending money and going in debt and debt and debt. It's just like this. If you take out your retirement, you can't put it back because there's no way you can do it now, the cost of living and everything. I live by myself, and I agree. You spend too much money. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, next we'll get everybody. Yes, yes.
I'm Kim Holloway, 107 Davis Court, Berlin. And I agree as well. They're just spending too much money. And I've heard so much criticism with fire company, and you've been so razor focused on spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on studies that continually come back and tell you that the fire company is doing the job that they need to do. They are responsible. They have a reserve fund just like you do, but you give them a hard time about having a reserve fund, and you don't want to subsidize any of the services that they provide to this town. It seems like they're doing the smart business here. They've come back to you and given you everything that you need. Every report that comes back and says they are being fiscally responsible, but it doesn't seem to be enough for you. You have to spend more money to get another report to come back and tell you that they're doing the job that they need to do. They're the ones that are having a reserve fund that keeps their fire company running for over 100 years, yet you criticize them for having a reserve fund, and you're pulling from your reserve fund and going broke, while the fire company is only going broke because you're putting them there.
Yeah, yes.
I'm Jim Meckley, and I live over on Buckingham Road. I did some research. I have not been in the town that long, but I moved from New York State, where I got tired of the very, very high taxes, poor economy, and the government. I've been coming to Berlin for 30 years, fell in love with this town, and finally 4 years ago, I just made the move, and I bought a house, and I'm glad I'm here. Tonight, however, I'm a little dismayed when I hear about what we are planning on doing. The average age of this town is 41.4 years. That means that probably one-third of us are older and on fixed incomes. There are approximately 660 houses in this town, and there are 109 businesses. Okay? Not a bad tax base. Our assessments this year, and the average, and I know this from good sources, has risen $20,000 to $30,000 per property. When you take that 1,660 houses and those 109 businesses, which I have no idea what they're assessed at, because I couldn't count that, that's a nice chunk of change that's going to be coming into your pocket. Worcester County is probably going to raise their taxes this year. I mean, it's inevitable. It'll probably be 2 or 3 cents. We accept that. I think everybody here understands you don't get the same for every year. It has to go up. We understand that. That's not a problem. Berlin Falls Park, it is a boondoggle. Okay? It is dragging this place down. In 2015, a person asked, what if we cannot sustain this property? Will taxes go up? And your answer was, if we are that incumbent, then yes, taxes will go up. We've arrived. $124,000 to tear down a bunch of buildings, for what? Mr. Deutsch gets $50,000 a year. Well,
no.
Okay, Mr. Deutsch, I'll receive that. Mr. Deutsch gets paid a salary to study about this boondoggle. And where has it gotten us? It has gotten us nowhere. Okay? I understand why you bought it. You didn't want another commercial property going there. We didn't want another stinky plant. But for God's sake, sell it. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would love to have that property. If my taxes go up 25% and Worcester doesn't move, and the state doesn't move, which God only knows what they're going to do because of the education that they want, my taxes in the next 3 years, because I'm on the Homestead Act, with my assessment and your raise, will raise $1,200. I did not move here to have higher tax rate of that magnitude. Okay? I will be paying more than I did in New York State. Will I go back to New York State? No. But if I can't afford my house, I'm leaving Berlin. So I can say, thank you.
Thank you.
I had nothing to say. senior citizens, couples, user review system. I have 10,000 reviews, and I had 25 complaints, and none of them are like the horse story you hear, because if it's run properly, it works. If it's not run properly, it doesn't. I came in earlier today. See, this gentleman, I couldn't find him to find out if you have what your position is on that, what rules you have, and see if it would work. I would do nothing without thinking that okay with you guys.
Again, I'll let between the two Davids, both the planning director and our town attorney, both are named Dave. So between you, we do have a requirement for a business license and a rental license.
Okay, that's our requirement. We don't have. I'm only going to be in town for a few days.
I'll see you. Just say something to Dave.
This gentleman addressed me earlier. He couldn't find my office. I want that on a record.
Okay.
I remember his office being over there, but I guess it was over here. I got my comments.
Okay, good. Well,
come see me tomorrow.
I'll find him tomorrow. Me
please do. Sir. Please do. He's right behind this building. Thank you.
And then find me for your business license.
Yes, sir. Sure.
Good evening. My name is Jason Bratton. I live on 101 Middle Street. And G and Councilmember Tendo, I emailed about 2 weeks ago. I haven't got a response back from the mayor, but we did verbally talk to Zach because we are neighbors. But this was the email that I sent you guys concerning the WBOC report about the raising of taxes, of course. It says, I have a huge concern and many questions from the recent WBOC report stating Berlin may increase our property taxes this year. However, my family and I are and have been residents of Berlin for 19 years now. Berlin is a beautiful and awesome place to raise a family. Crime is never a problem, and the busy Main Street events are always a blast. With that said, from the report tonight that was on WBOC a couple weeks ago, possible tax increase has me very concerned. For many years now, the town and county taxes have been on one statement together. As a whole, my taxes have increased $200 every year since the year 2000. Even with the recession in 2008 and the value of my home, along with other significantly dropped, my taxes still increased each and every year. They never stopped. They continued to stay the same and certainly did not decrease. During that time, which I have many questions on that issue alone, I was outraged when I heard that Berlin may increase their taxes up to 34%, and possible raise their sewer and storm water rates as well. If there is an increase, it should be in phases from at least 3 to 5 years, especially not all at one time. It's absurd to think that if this increase is passed and my mortgage was paid for as a balance of zero today, and if the taxes went up 34%, I would have to budget $350 a month to live in the town of Berlin with a zero mortgage. On that note, other towns are charging what I pay for water and sewer a month. They're charging for a quarter. So just with that ratio alone, you know, I have some friends that live in surrounding towns that what I pay a month, they pay for a quarter. Just some things I had on top of my mind is why all of a sudden need for a major increase, which some of this I've heard tonight. It says, can there be areas in the budget that we can save on? Do we need to look at salaries? Can we make better equipment choices as far as the town's vehicles are concerned? When I ride by, the town's working, and they're very working employees and the police departments as well, but a lot of the equipment is either new or brand new, the way it looks to me. So certain things should be phased out there as well. And then as far as the police department's concerned, is there a need for a full-size SUV for every police officer? Now, you know, we have a great police department. Crime is low, as I said. It's just things, and I don't know how any of this stuff is funded, but in my opinion, you know, because that involves gas, of course, and gas for a large SUV. And not only that, like I said, just other different things. But I want to finish with my family and I are proud to call Berlin our home, and we love to continue to say that. There are a lot of hardworking average income families that live here, and we and other families may be forced to move if the increases continue to come, which would be eventually devastating to Berlin by losing that family-friendly, small hometown feel, and that, to me, is what makes Berlin special. It says that we need to take advantage of our tourism. Do we need to charge parking fees if we have to increase revenue? We're getting a lot of tourism in Berlin anymore, And to take advantage of that would be great. We don't want to drive them out, but it seems to me that it's growing at a rapid pace to consider things like that. And then I think in the last comment that Zach mentioned about the commercial rates versus the residential rates, as far as water and sewer and electric, I believe there should be different rate ratios with that. I shouldn't pay the same as a commercial business.
You say it should be one rate regardless.
There shouldn't be one rate for everybody. There should be a different rate for residential versus commercial people. So with that in mind, I appreciate your time, and I just want to express my concern. And I want to continue to live here, but it will be very, very hard to do so. Thank you.
Appreciate your comments. Just so you know, because not everybody can know everything, especially at the beginning of a process, but the town administrator and myself have instructed all the departments to cut their budget by a minimum of 10%. And just so you know, that's not chicken feed. That means to cut the budgets for next year by $1.8 million. Just to give you some feel. Now, if somebody can come up with ideas that we can greatly expand upon that, that's great. But it's always a balance between what does everybody want versus what everybody can afford to pay. And that's where we have to find the balance. Yes, sir.
James Manley, 207 Washington Street. My biggest question, and I don't have the answer to this, I know lately, the last couple of years, we've annexed multiple properties throughout the over by where the new Arby's is, and we're talking about hurting down here at the Visitor Center. Is that adding too much stress on the infrastructure? I know we were planning on that. Is that add extra to the sewer that we weren't anticipating? I know you guys looked into what the cost of that were and the more ADUs, because more money.
And let me point this out. This is there's many paradoxes, but one of them is simply that by expanding the tax base, and that spreads the cost of operating the town government over more taxpayers, that's a good thing. The EDUs have been very good because we've been able to reduce our debt for the wastewater. It wasn't done just for fun. We were under court orders because the town had not upgraded that facility in ages. So we basically started from scratch, and now it's state of the art. What was not calculated correctly, the engineers, everybody even heard the report earlier, was how much it costs once the process is done, and then it has to be returned to nature. And that's where the costs have been considerably higher than anybody, told us or anticipated. And so it's not, that had to be done. That had was the problem from day one. So if we had had less property owners, if we had less homeowners, if we had less, development, there would be even more pressure on fewer people to pay more. If anybody, and obviously now we're going to have to look at, is there ways that we can reduce the cost? I mean, it just become very obvious with this report that we have this dilemma. How can we reduce costs? Can we then have times where we don't rely as much on the new spray irrigation field and reduce that? Or is there times when we can maybe electric costs are sky high? We can't provide the electricity to our own spray irrigation field because it's out of town, and you can't put one in town. So I think maybe there we can look at what is it called, renewable energy. Maybe solar panels or wind turbines or, whatever. But first you have to know what the cause of the problem is before you can fix it. So it's not like they're directly related. If we have not one additional home or not one additional development of property, the costs are still there. We have to try to reduce them. We think we're going to be able to reduce them by hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's probably not realistic. Maybe we can get $100,000, a couple of $100,000 off it. We'll just see. That's what the engineer's for. But I just want to give an idea where, what's driving this the most. Yeah, we could have done nothing the last 10 years, right? But we still have that problem. So that we still have a need for a rate increase. And I think, you know, I think it was a mistake when I recommended that we lower the tax rate since 8 years ago. Everything seemed fine and dandy, but that was about the time that that went online. And I don't regret that we've built the new police station. I think it's very interesting, the comments on Berlin Falls Park, because for the most part, all these years, I've heard almost nothing, right? Just no input. And so, you know, we welcome the input. So, but I just want you to understand that it's not because of annexations. If we didn't have annexations, the situation would be even more, a greater problem. But I'm interested in the idea about the idea of phasing. But the town's not going to go out of business. That's what I keep. No, we're not going out of business. But we do have to adjust our cost and our revenues to bring back in balance. Yes, ma'am.
One second, if you don't mind. Mr. Manley, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
This is one area where I happen to differ from my colleagues, and it's no secret. Anytime you look at the voting history, I'm of the belief that if we have a problem, we should fix it, stop the bleeding now, fix whatever's going wrong before we continue to annex. I've said that since day one. I will continue to say it for as long as I'm allowed to sit up here. I don't know if it's right. I don't know if I have all the answers, but for me, it makes perfectly good sense to fix what we have before we do anything more. So.
Yes, sir. Yeah, the reserves.
So I don't think if you've taken it out over 15 years or 16 years, you can put it back over 16 years instead of taking 34% or even 15%. And the next thing you need to remember is also what he said. When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. Stop spending $140,000 or whatever to tear the building down over it. Chicken plant. And don't spend things that are not necessary until you get to a point where you're completely solvent again for a year or however long it's got to be. And you know, you just said, Gene, that you know, it's the first time you've really heard from people like this. Well, we kind of trusted you to spend our money like it was coming out of your pocket.
Spent our money like it was coming out of his pocket.
I know. Fixed
nothing. Thank you. You're welcome. Thank you.
And if you can't do it, hire somebody. Pay them to do it. If they can't budget right. You don't spend money if you don't have it. You're like something you give a kid a credit card, 16. Go out and use it. Just push that card in. And they don't think they have to pay back. And I think that's what we're going to
do. Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
Sure. Question. Would you all agree that the purchase of that property, Berlin Falls, was a mistake and is really costing us more than we're benefiting?
No, I
and
would not.
And would it help us to sell it and dig us out of this hole?
No, I would not agree.
Okay.
Because the room is full now. But if a seafood processing plant had moved up there, the room would be running over. We bought that place so we could control what goes there.
Yep. Yeah.
That to ensure and help build the quality of life and the air we breathe here in the town of Berlin. That was the major reason.
But doesn't the owner of that property have control over who buys it too? So could have been controlled by the person that owned it.
We can't control what private property owners do with their property.
No, as long as you can, but they can't. They can control who they would have sold it to.
Right? But I have a question, too. Would you have bought the Tysons if he hadn't been on the town council?
Yep, because...
He'd been another owner.
And this is, I know, and it's a very good question. No, it's a very good question. And the motivation, the primary motivation was that property, since the 40s, had been a major detriment to the northern part of the town of Berlin. And depending on which way the wind's blowing is how much you were affected and how deeply it went. It never got to downtown. Thank God it didn't. We wouldn't be able to rebuild.
Well, the taxes still knew who went there and who took care of it. I mean, they wouldn't let anything by come in town.
But see, we can only tell private industry within the zoning.
Well,
see, we
said that was a mistake.
Okay.
Buying that Tyson and going up in debt, spending our money, and now you want us to pay for your mistakes.
I'm probably the longest person been on the council up here, and I've probably spent more time on this council fighting that plant. And
why
the citizens.
Did you buy it? I just want to know.
For that same reason.
To sell it to the town, make money, right?
Why did I? What? Repeat that again.
She wants to know why you voted to.
Why'd you buy it if you weren't going to use it for yourself and selling it to the town and making the town get deeper and deeper and debt?
You didn't
own
it.
Well, I think eventually that plant's going to benefit the town. That's what I feel.
I probably won't live to see the town pay for it.
And again, I hope it doesn't work out that way. But when we bought it, we talked about the fact that that was a piece of property.
How much did you pay for that? $100. How much?
$2.5 million, and we floated a $500,000
bond. For a chicken plant, I would not to raise taxes in Berlin. That's all I'm
going to
say.
Well, clarify how much we bought it for.
Sure.
Please.
We purchased the property for $2.5 million, which was what it was appraised at. We bonded for three, so we had $500,000 to invest in the property for, you know, capital reasons, some of which we spent tonight, the authorized expenditure of that tonight, which you've spoken to as well.
I still say, if the town paid that much money for that property and going to pay the entire thing, I would be ashamed, and I said ashamed, to tell the people in Berlin I'm going to raise their taxes, starting for
it's interesting, everybody's fixated on the 34%, as we expected. Yes, sir.
Regarding to the park and the buildings that are requested to be put torn down, is there any room for negotiation to, one, move, you know, use those buildings for potential income rather than costing money, or the rest of the building? I think there could be some potential businesses that could generate income for the town, but rather than money on the town. I don't think that, you know, talking about the past is going to do anything for the future. I think that we should move forward and think about something that we could actually do something to generate some cash, whether it's selling the property or renting it or multiple different options.
And I think that is one of the things, particularly for the only discussion has been about the large building. And again, we're not telling the Berlin Falls, but the large building has potential for a variety of uses that could create income. But at the same time, it's not something you just do willy-nilly. You wait to see. First, we let the Berlin Falls Park Advisory Commission, Advisory Committee, make recommendations to us. In the meantime, we'd love to have a good public use that, you know, it doesn't for that building. I think part of it is beyond saving, but part of it could be retrofitted. It depends on what
you
use. Well,
it's a lot of money, and if it could generate even a little bit of income is better than taking away from money.
Well, I understand.
And so is there room for negotiation to rent some of the buildings out or do something more money?
The basic idea was there to take what was a rundown industrial property and make sure that it never could return to that use again.
I understand that way better this evening than I have in the past, and I do actually appreciate that. I certainly would not be very happy about having, say, a fish plant down the road. I understand that. I really do, and I appreciate that. But the question that I'm asking, is there any room for negotiation to do something with the building? there's some pretty, I mean, I work out of a 40 by 40 building, and almost half of those buildings we're talking about tearing down are larger than that. I certainly think that there's room for people that would be interested in bringing income to the town. Is it something that would be worth negotiating rather than just willy-nilly $124,000?
Let's ask the planning director, Dave Englehart. Of the seven buildings that are on that list, how many of those buildings are actually capable of being used?
Yeah, maybe one.
Okay.
And that would be with major work.
Yeah.
Retrofit. They don't have water. They don't have electric currently. So you would need some work, some major work for any kind of use. Yeah.
Okay.
And typically the renter would be paying for that in most renting situations.
But what he's explaining is there's no water and electric out to those buildings. So that would need to be...
It's not hooked into town utilities. Yeah. It doesn't run back there. At one point they had wells and septic that were abandoned years ago, which you can't reconnect to by state standards. So that would be a large expense of infrastructure to service the property for... Even one restroom, that's why we don't have a public restroom there yet for the park. The electric only goes so far, you know, it's for the front buildings, Tim can tell you better, but the rear buildings, the ones we're taking down, they're not serviceable at this time either without major expense.
And these are all the questions
we've had that.
I'm not trying to assume that we can do something with the properties. I was just curious.
We've had those discussions internally for quite a while now. What could be without major expense, and it would come down to trying to maintain them, keep them weather tight. It's going to cost more than taking them down over the next few years. So.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Just one more quick question.
Sure.
Do we have a recent appraisal on is the value of that property going up? Is it going down? Do we know where it's at?
I don't have a recent appraisal of that.
Yeah, the appraisal goes back about 3 years. About.
Bought it in 16.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to comment real quick. My name is Bill Todd, 107 West Street. Since we've secured this property already, the town owns it, can't we go ahead and sell it now to somebody that we see fit? Seems to be a big point of contention amongst a lot of people in this room, so is that an option?
Well, sure, anything is an option. When this is the first time anybody, and, you know, I've lived in this town for my whole life, has ever suggested that. So it's not that it won't be considered. It hasn't been considered to date, but, you know, obviously that's why we have public meetings.
I think what you're getting lost is that when you said you bought this property to secure it, so you make sure that somebody doesn't come in here, I think that's done. Can we pursue selling this property now as a town and bring money back that we need?
I put it this way, that will be another